He is the cup that transformation comes in. We are after a presence that changes everything. We want to make this city and this region famous for the presence of the Lord. We want to see worship that redefines
how people think of the Bible Belt.
If we want to reach this region in our area, you know, in this world, whatever, we as a church have got to come together. And it's not just one church that's going to do it. It's going to take us all.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere, that we will come against things.
He wants his kingdom to be overlaid in such a powerful way that crime drops, that sickness goes away, and even economically, this whole area can explode in the favor and the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing to attract the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing that positions me to have something flow through me that transforms the earth around me?
It's to create a path, a clear path for God to come in today, to break through all of that stuff that's been on you all week, to break through all that depression, to break through all that sickness.
What he did on the cross was he provided everything that we need to transform this world. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me tell you what, it's not finished for us.
It's just starting.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I'm your host. What if what you're looking for isn't that far away? Many times a breakthrough can seem like it's on the other side of the galaxy, when in reality, it's right in front of us. John the Baptist said in Mark 3:2 that the kingdom of God is at hand. The Greek word for at hand means that it is very close. What if you were one encounter away from living a full, joyous, and infectious life? What if his presence is nearer to you than you think? What if all the hopes and dreams inside of you suddenly burst forth into life? Truly, one moment in his presence can change everything. Coming up on April 10th and 11th is the next Unite Worship Gathering. This event will be held at Impact Life Church in Joplin, Missouri. For more details or to sign up for a time slot, go to nextgenworship.com/unite. On this week's podcast, Daryl Billings has a conversation with Mark and Debbie Hendrickson. Mark and Debbie have served with Mike Bickle in several churches over the last 30 years. They travel itinerantly, guest speaking, leading worship, and conducting worship and harp and bowl seminars. Thanks everybody for listening and enjoy our conversation about raising up the next generation of worshipers with Mark and Debbie Hendrickson.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
Mark and Debbie have been involved in many different pioneering aspects. There's a lot of pioneering things going on in the realm of worship these days, and you guys have been actively involved in worship for how many years?
Since before we were married, which was 37 years ago, and both of our families were involved in worship and pioneering church planning, that kind of endeavors,
right.
way when we were even early childhood.
Mm-hmm. Both of your parents were parents. Of course, they were parents.
They were parents.
Yeah, that works out well. Both of your parents were in the ministry.
Yes. PKs.
Yeah. And
both of our dads, our parents really had a heart for worship. They loved music, and we just grew up in a worship atmosphere.
Right. They instilled in you this desire to get into worship.
Mm-hmm.
And the results of it.
They modeled it. They loved it. They had worship on the heart level. They didn't just assent to it as being an important part of a religious experience. They were worshipers themselves.
Right.
Both of our dads were really God seekers, God chasers, loved encounter, loved presence, and really raised us in such a way that we hungered after the presence ourselves. And if we hear something was happening across the states, we'd all end up there, just even as children growing up. And that's kind of how we raised our own kids, yeah, too, just a hunger after Jesus.
I call that chasing the holy haunting.
Yeah.
There's something out there that you go after.
Yeah.
And both of your fathers were actually spiritual fathers to many,
mm-hmm,
shepherding. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Debbie, your father was a spiritual father to a young man he saw a lot of potential in, a guy named Mike Bickle.
Yeah, that's correct? Right. That's right.
So your history with Mike Bickle, who later became director of the International House, mm-hmm, of Prayer, which has affected thousands and thousands and thousands of lives across the globe, kind of began continued his journey,
mm-hmm,
underneath the ministry of your father. He was the youth pastor there, correct?
Yeah, youth pastor, junior pastor, kind of how they described it,
right,
back in the day.
And he's still kind of a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is your involvement with Mike and then leading into the House of Prayer?
Well, it starts about 38 years ago before Mike and his wife Diane were married, or before Debbie and I were married. We were all on the same church staff with Debbie's father. Debbie was the secretary, I was worship leader, and he was the junior pastor, younger associate pastor on staff. And so that was a very, very powerful time in church history, certainly in our history, but it was at the height of the charismatic renewal. And so there are lots of dynamic spiritual things happening in those days. It was really electrifying and quite captivating to see a move of God be not only effervescent, but magnetic. It drew people just, mm-hmm, from all walks of life.
Right. Mm-hmm. The community aspect of what you guys did, can you expound on that a little bit? You know, I've heard your stories over the years, but what type of community did you just see evolve around you in this?
Well, when hearts come alive, that changes everything. When hearts come alive with a passion for the presence,
mm-hmm,
when hearts come alive to God really loves me, that just changes everything. From a sterile, stuffy, stale religious gathering or meeting, now it becomes a spontaneous and sometimes unpredictable experience of hearts being exposed, sometimes raw, but under the direction of the Holy Spirit, which that's what we always, of course, aspire to, he always brings good out of it. And so we've just had some amazing, amazing testimonies from signs and wonders, and I don't apologize saying that. I have no reservation. Signs and wonders, miracles happen, changed lives, and in those early days, we saw national and international ministries get birthed right out of that movement where Mike and we were all involved in the middle 70s.
Mm-hmm. Right. What I've seen the stories and heard the stories from you guys and heard the stories from Mike Bickle as he's preaching, that there was this community of young believers who knew there was something more, had no clue what the, mm-hmm, something more was, but launched out into a prayer movement that is unprecedented, unlimited, and surrounds the globe. Can you give me just a synopsis what it was like to step into what we know as IHOP now, mm-hmm, but the very beginnings of that?
Well, let me preface that by saying this. In the early 80s, there was a prophetic word that, you know, you never know whether you can believe this prophetic word, you know, but it said there will be a 24/7 house of worship and prayer in South Kansas City. And, it didn't happen for 16 years. But when it happened in unprecedented fashion. The fact is, we don't know of anybody else having a 24/7 house of prayer where real live worship is going on 24 hours a day. At this point now, it's 15 years in existence. And now, it's not unprecedented in history. There have been several times, right, where it's happened in history. But currently, anyway, we just, when we began to watch it emerge, our hearts rose to the occasion because that original prophecy back in the 80s was over us also, that we'd be a part of it.
And it was over our children. And so here our children were just really little. In fact, in the you know, early days. Let's see, how old would Lydia have been? I don't know. She wasn't even born then. Yeah. We just had two or three young ones at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was prophesied that they were going to be a part of it, too. It's like, it just seems so far away at that point. But sure enough, that's
exactly 16 years later now, the kids are teens. One of them was late teens. And we moved back from Wisconsin at the mm-hmm. time to back to Kansas City to be a part of the International House of Prayer. And
and it was so exciting because, you know, when we went 24/7, which was September 99, there'd be times we'd be laying in bed at midnight. And, you know, some parents may wonder where their kids are in the night. Our kids were over the hill at IHOP. You know, they were doing a session at midnight hour or something. That was pretty exciting to be a part and to have our kids be a part of something so wonderful.
Yeah. I really feel there's something on that, of knowing that your kids are immersed in the very presence mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. And they were. Your kids and the Bickles kids mm-hmm. and the Myers kids mm-hmm. and a whole many others were just, as Mark puts it, marinating mm-hmm. in this presence of God. And then a whole bunch of other kids came in. Later teens and early 20s and begin to feed into this thing that now has exploded with great results.
Mm-hmm. All the prayer meetings I'd been in from a youth on up to that current day, 2000 about, had been primarily fueled by older people. You know, wizened veteran saints who've got this, bless God, we're going to go on through to the end, you know, kind of thing, and they're able to kind of punch out a prayer meeting. The phenomenon that happened in this occasion, in around 2000, when House of Prayer was birthed, was that it was fueled primarily by young people. Mm-hmm. Well, when, of course, we have young people at that date, we had, you know, our children were teens. And so, let me just speak to the parents just a second. You, as a parent, probably get frustrated being the cop in your house. And I think that there's probably a better way than just being a cop. Well, what happens if, as a parent, we choose to put our children in an environment where our children love the people they're alongside, right. They're inspired by the people they're alongside, they're inspired by their peers, and they're inspired by their mentors? Well, that was just exactly the condition and the environment that happened here at IHOP. Our children were musical, and so when they got around other musical young people, well, they just grew like weeds.
Yeah,
spiritually,
really
skill-wise in music. Mm-hmm. I believe personality and character issues mm-hmm. Were strongly fortified and strengthened as a result of being in an environment where mom and dad now don't have to be the cop all the time.
Right.
The fact is now mom and dad are happy that the children's influencers in their life, their peers and mentors, mm-hmm. are giving influence along the same direction that mom and dad want the children to go.
So when this God-given talent, as we might say, or gifting, is awakened, and then there are mentors, strongly by the parents and strongly by those who are around them, then there are tremendous results, right?
I think so. I don't believe there's ever a guarantee.
Right.
But what it does is it certainly fortifies our desires as a loving, caring parent. We want our children to be raised in an atmosphere where their hearts get awakened to God and established in God, understand the ways of God. And so it certainly goes a long ways that direction mm-hmm. when we put them in an environment that's steeped with and teeming with the presence of God.
Exactly. As a result of the way your children have been raised, I've had the privilege of watching them plug into society, you can't separate the holy from the unholy when we're talking about doing God's work. Mm-hmm. It's all holy. And so, real briefly, can you start from the very top, oldest to the youngest, where they're plugged in and what they're doing in the world?
Sure. Our son Marcus and his wife Allison and their young baby, they are in Franklin, Tennessee, involved with a great church there, Grace Church.
Grace
Center Church. And he's on staff there, is their tech guy, also helps with worship and has a heart for worship. Marcus has also produced many, many albums from the beginning IHOP days. Some of the very first album IHOP albums have come out of our studio and our home. And all of our boys a part of that. And so Marcus was kind of a forerunner in that. Luke and his wife Sarah live out in Redding. And
Redding, California.
And they're involved with Bethel Church on staff there. And they are both on staff there. And they are involved in with Bethel Music. And Luke does all the live streaming for Bethel. And also travels some with Bethel Music, doing their, he's on a tour right now actually. And Sarah is involved with Bethel Music also. And then the next one, John. John and Cheryl live with their three young children here in Kansas City. And he runs the studio here full time. And also does, all of our kids have also been involved in other studios, so not just ours, but they do stuff with IHOP, they do stuff with several other local studios. And John, he does a lot of producing here. He also is a drummer, and so he does drum lessons. So the house is very active with people coming and going, with musicians and different students coming in and out, going. And he, all of the kids just love the presence, love worship, love being hanging with people who are like-minded, such. And then Chris and Lydia, our daughter Chris and her husband Lydia, they live out in Redding, and she's on staff.
You mean your daughter Lydia and her husband Chris?
Oh, did I say it backwards? Yeah, our daughter Lydia and her husband Chris, yes, live out in Redding, California, and they are very involved out there. And Lydia also helps with worship many times, and she's one of the main keyboardists out there. She also is involved in their school, has also done the school out there, the BSSM school, the Supernatural School of Ministry school. And so they're all very involved in worship and on the forefront, just whatever God's doing in the world, man, they all want to be in the middle of it.
Yes.
And thankfully they are. Thank you, Jesus.
So somewhere along the line, you guys decided to hook into what the Lord has gifted you with and hook into others with that same gifting. And you raised a family in that atmosphere. And now you have four children who mm-hmm. are globally affecting the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from starting off with Forerunner Music and their own recording studios, recording things that many of us have heard. Matter of fact, one of your first albums, your CDs, 24/7, impacted us long before we ever knew you guys. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Luke, who's doing the live streaming across the world. Mm-hmm. John producing albums that are going across the world. Lydia, her face is on Bethel Worship many mm-hmm. times, playing the keyboards for some of the top worship mm-hmm. leaders there. What's next?
Mm-hmm. We are grateful that
grandkids,
yes,
the next generation.
We are grateful that all the four children and their spouses are running hard after God,
yeah,
and strongly established in walking after God. And you're right; they are coloring and shaping the very sound of worship on a global scale. I mean, here at IHOP, they've all been involved with this. And John still is, and goes out across the globe. Luke and Sarah and Lydia and Chris are involved with Bethel Music, and literally that's probably right up there with the premier shapers of what worship sounds like on the globe today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it's an amazing blessing, certainly not all attributable to us, but I think the Lord gave us some wisdom along the way, as he does every parent, gives us nuggets of wisdom to know how to put our kids in an environment where that environment will instill in them things that we as a parent can't do.
Mm-hmm.
If we're, as a parent, think that we're the sole influencers or shapers of our child, we will, I believe, run out soon, and that's why we need the rest of the body of Christ. And so we're grateful that various other spiritual influences have certainly been harmonious and supportive of where we aspire our kids to walk into.
Right, mm-hmm. right. You guys are both great spiritual parents. You know, we're coming into a generation where now we're spiritual grandparents mm-hmm. and raising up a whole other generation of spiritual parents. So I'm going to ask, would you say a blessing over those who are listening to this podcast who are entering into this journey
yeah.
or who partway through the journey?
Yeah. Well, just one more nugget of wisdom, then I'd be happy to do that. If you were to travel to Russia and try to put use our dollars in their marketplace, now in a black market that might work, but out on the open market, you would have trouble because our currency, even though it's valuable to us, doesn't register in their market system. Likewise, in our children, each one of our children's hearts and lives have a certain currency, so to speak, that their heart relates to, registers with, and values. And that may or may not be the same currency that we value in our own hearts. So it's important that we evaluate what is the I'll use the word again, currency that's unique to each child. And then as a parent, we have to go about uncovering that, nurturing that, identifying that, fanning the flames so that each child doesn't get conformed and squeezed into just the parental box or sameness of the parent. Now, the core values, of course, are going to be probably nearly the same. But the uniqueness of how that works out has to be determined by the uniqueness of the child.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish I'd been listening to this 40 years ago. But
we learn as we go.
Yeah, yes, we do.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd be happy to speak a blessing. Lord, we thank you that you are the great shepherd, and then you've given us to be under shepherds to this next generation. And so, Lord, I just speak over each one of the parents and parents to be who are listening, that their hearts would be inundated, overcome, like the word marinated, in an awareness of what you're saying to the generation right here ahead of us. And that you give us wisdom, divine unction, ability to impart anointings, wisdom to know how to steer and where to encourage and affirm. God, to be able to bring forth the unique Word of God
yes.
and the people of God in this next generation in such a way that it fulfills your heart, makes your heart happy. So yes, this next generation is walking in all of the design, all the intentions of my heart, because wise moms and dads sought me first, loved me more than their own comfort zones, and nurtured the next generation mm-hmm. into this unique time and place in history. We bless these parents and parents-to-be, Lord. We bless the children. Yes. God, that their hearts would be uniquely open and vulnerable, even eager to find the presence and walk in it with all their heart. We commit these things to your care. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Debbie and Mark Ingerson, for giving us of your time. I'm sure there'll be lots more times when we'll sit down and do this again.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you,
Daryl.
Blessings.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.